Hey everybody, happy Monday. It's your girl Claudia Jordan. Welcome to Cocktails with the Queens. We're separated tonight. We had so much fun last week. We're gonna get into all of that in a second. But I'm back with my girls, Vivica A. Fox. Hey girl.
Hey.
Birthday girl. Also Miss Lisa Ray with that island hair still thriving.
I'm still in the islands. I don't know about y'all, but that's where my mind is. You know,
She stunned on us real quick, didn't she?
Okay.
And our girl, Selena Johnson, who's always coming through. What's up, Selena?
Hey, y'all. What's popping?
Of course, we're bitching about everything trending in the news and on social media. And later on in the show, we have a special treat. When I tell people who's going to be on the show tonight, they're like, oh, I'm not missing this. Even my concierge downstairs is like, what? Judge Mathis will be joining us and speaking about the narrative on how Black families are seen in the media with television personality. Like I said, Judge Greg Mathis, which I adore him. Queens, how y'all feeling tonight and what y'all sipping on and how y'all been since I seen you in the islands?
Oh, gosh.
All I know is we all tanned.
Yes, we still got our Jamaica glow going on. You know, last week was epic. It really was. I mean, we've been doing the show for such a long time, and for us to kind of somewhat all be in the same place was just really wonderful. My family absolutely adored you, Queens. They just had the best time with you all. And I'm just so grateful that to our producers at Fox Soul that, you know, we fought through that, but we made it happen. And live from Jamaica was just epic. And I thank you guys for celebrating my birthday with me.
We thank you once again because we had a fantastic time. I want to go back on that boat, and I need some more of that, the oxtails and the brown stew chicken. So cheers to you once again. We had a great time. Yay. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
I thought I had...
So I'm back to my Pinot Noir.
Oh, that's what you drinking? Okay. Selena, what
me,
you drinking?
Me too, Vivica. I got the same one you got too, girl.
We back home, ma.
With the Meoni. Yeah.
Ooh. That wine that you brought, Selena, to the table at Vivica's farewell last night that we were in Jamaica was excellent, girl. So here. I would pour a little bit in here if I didn't have a tea, but I got the tea.
Well, shout out to the City Winery Tour. You know, that's where I got the bottle of wine from. I have signature wine bottles that they sell, they make, they create for every show, and then they sell them, and I sign them and autograph them. So I brought Vivica one for her birthday. And then I've got two shows left. Boston is August 10th, and Philadelphia, I'll be there August 12th, and then the tour is over.
Okay. I got some people already hit me up. They go, can you ask Selena if I can get two tickets to her show in Boston?
At the box office. They could get them down to the box office.
Hilarious. All right, ladies, let's get into these hot topics, shall we? We have a lot to cover. Now, Doja Cat reveals her new look after shaving her hair and eyebrows on Instagram Live. Okay, Doja said, what is the use of having hair if you're not going to be bleeping? You're not going to bleep and wear it out. Meaning, you know, weaves and all that. I don't even sport it, so I'm shaving it off. There's no point. I've never felt so bleeping happy. Like, it's very funny how much of an effect taking my hair off my head has positively influenced me. Now, after posting the video, Doja received comments from some of her fans who questioned her mental state. Doja addressed the comments and said, if you really have love for me and you really are concerned about me, I want you to know this isn't a cry for help or an issue of any sort. This is just me having no hair, and I'm still the same me. Ladies, what are your thoughts on Doja Cat's new look and her reason behind it? Lisa Ray, let's start with you.
I think it's, and I've heard, you know, I'm always talking about something I heard, but I heard that it's very liberating, you know, and low-key, I'm kind of envious of that because I kind of want to know what that feels like, but I'm too nervous to cut all my hair. But she's absolutely right. Viva and I was talking about this the other day, and all of us can contest to this, that how much do we really wear our own hair? I ain't talking about you, Claudia, but you know, us, you know, Viva and I, really, you know, we really don't wear our own hair because we wear wigs and ponytails and pieces and tracks and, you know, braids and dreads. And, you know, we're about being stylish in so many different ways and variety of being a woman. So that's the essence of having, you know, Becky one night, maybe not Becky and definitely not Karen, but Tiffany one night and having, you know, being a Renee another night and being a redhead another night. You know what I mean? That's exciting, you know, but good for her that if she felt like she wanted to cut her hair off and present herself to her fans that way. And she said, look here, I'm fine. My mental state is okay, but thanks for asking. But just to let y'all know, I'm cool. Then have it.
So Lisa Ray says it's liberating. Okay, Selena, what do you say?
Why somebody gotta be crazy because they get a haircut? Wait, since when did getting a haircut make you crazy? Okay, I just cut all my hair off just a couple of two months ago because I was just sick of it. And I wear my own hair every day. The only way I will wear, unless it's a protective style, then I like a good braid. I like, you know, my same braids that Lisa Ray got. I love wearing those because they're light and they're easy. But most of the time I wear my own hair and it's very boring. It's also a lot to deal with, especially natural hair. Like you think natural hair should be easy, but it's really hard. You really have to take time to manipulate it and fix it and all this stuff. So hair is actually can cut, like hair for me and for most women has caused anxiety because it's like, you know, man, I struggle between these itchy wigs, or I struggle between a weave that's messing up my edges, or I struggle between, man, I want my hair to grow. Man, you know, we go through so many phases as women. It's like, cut all this shit off. Like, I'm sick of it, you know.
Okay, well, okay.
So I'm here for it.
So you're here for it. Okay, now, Vivica, we're going to end with you. I'm going to say this real quick, just one quick sentence before I turn it over to you. I feel you on the haircut thing, but what concerned me was cutting the eyebrows off too. That's when I was like, is she okay? Vivica, what do you think about this? Do you know she shaved her eyebrows as well?
Yeah. I don't know why she doesn't think that folks found it to be surprising that she did this on live.
That's true too.
You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong that, you know, because most women, when we go through a breakup, or we want to change in life, we go with our hair. It's like, ugh, I need to do something different. Usually when you have a breakup, most girls are like, oh, just cut it off. I got to get him out of here.
Right.
The surprising and alarming thing was that she did it live. And it was a whole like thing. And then she did the eyebrows. It was a lot. And I think she's a very beautiful girl. And I just wonder with these children, why does everything have to go live? That live. If it's something that you want to do, do it. And then the next day say, you guys, guess what? I was sick of hair like Saweetie did. Saweetie, I remember Saweetie, who everybody was used to the weaves, the long hair and everything, came and was like, I got a buzz cut. Mm-hmm. And that's when you felt like, okay, she had kind of broken up with someone and was like, I just needed to get rid of this energy, and she did it. So the surprising thing with Doja is that, you know, she seems to me that she gets bored at times and she just does things live, and they're surprising to folks.
I get the hair thing that you all are talking about, because sometimes it is annoying. You're like, ugh, but I the thing on live, the eyebrows, and again, doing it on live, is you can't do something like that on live and then say, why y'all tripping?
Right.
Because you're doing it on live for a reaction or an attention, or I would check on her if I was one of her friends. And then she also posted a bunch of weird pictures when she was making a lot of really odd faces, like doing all like that kind of stuff. And I just hope she's okay, because I will say this about Doja. Doja stays in the news. And she got success fairly quickly and kind of blew up, right? And then she made a few missteps, like we all have, but she's made a few missteps. And she's coming up in the social media era where every little thing you do, you did this, use it. Yeah. And I remember for a while, she was getting dragged for, it was like almost every couple of weeks. And I can relate to that. So I could see her getting to a breaking point where like, I just snapped. You know, I'm not saying she snapped. I hope she didn't. I hope it is just a hair thing. I hope it's as surface as it is. With the eyebrows, sis, when you get older, like in your 40s, you'd be wishing for your eyebrows from your 20s, because I'd be drawing
my shit back. She just
tattoo. But you know, now the kids is tattooing their eyebrows. And if you want to be drag about it, then you're going to color them out and put them on and fix them on again, you know?
At that part. All right, well.
She's going to wear a wig. You'll see.
All right, now, by now, everyone knows Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson called it quits after 9 months of dating. A source told Entertainment Tonight that they couldn't make their long-distance relationship work. Now, y'all surprised, and do you think it's possible to have a successful long-distance relationship, especially when two people are both very, very, very busy? And we're going to get into what Kanye said next, but let's talk about this. Vivica, let's start with you about this one. Do you think it was distance? Do you think it was something else? Do you think she got tired of the white meat and she want to go back dark? What you think?
All that.
Well, Claudia, all of that.
Okay.
I personally think Kim dated Pete to feel like I'm going to try something new. And I personally think that Kim missed that billionaire lifestyle and that billionaire ping in that order. And, now all of a sudden now she's back to Yeezy 23 coming out. And, Pete's a nice guy, but he's a comedian. So he is pretty simple. With Kanye, there's a lot of drama. There's fashion. There's the notoriety. There's all of that that comes. So, for a while you think, I want to date a normal guy. And then seems to me she got bored.
You're absolutely right. I concur with you, Vivica. I absolutely think that, when you are dating a high profile and a high maintenance woman that's used to a certain lifestyle, you cannot come and compete with a Kanye if you don't have that kind of career or that kind of finance or that type of, anything, even if you're not really well cultured or traveled. Kim is at the top of her A game, So, as much as, the small things count as well, when you get ready to get big, go big, you got to go big, And I don't know if he's even able to do so.
I heard he goes big in the bedroom, though.
And can I just do a quick sidebar? And was it long distance? Because didn't he quit Saturday Night Live and was with her quite often?
I think his new popularity, he got really busy with movies. I think he's been in Australia recently. So, Selena, what do you think about this?
It's giving new Hulu show of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Need a new storyline?
Sorry. Pete, bless his heart, but he was a new storyline down to the Hulu for the Kardashians. And I really feel like she will always love Kanye because he is the father of her children. There is a different kind of love there. And I feel like she went out with him to make him jealous, to piss him off, to kind of show him what it's like to promenade around with another person like he had been doing.
He did.
I think Pete just got caught up in the whole rebound energy. And I don't know if it's going to work out for Kim, because if you think that's going to get Kanye back. See, here's the problem with women do stuff in like go out and be with other men and be independent and do their thing. Oh, we terrible. We hoes. We terrible. Mm-hmm. But when men have a whole bunch of women and cheat and be terrible, it's all good. They could get their woman back. It's all good. Yeah. So her situation is going to feel, it's going to look unforgivable to Kanye.
That's
what it's not.
I don't think
he's got a woman. He's got a whole woman that's like a therapist. She didn't got his life together.
He allegedly scrubbed his page, which is going to be one of our next topics that we're talking about, because Kim told him to and he did. Girl, that connection.
Yeah.
I don't even think she, I'm going to go ahead and take a stab in the dark at this. I don't even think she even wants Kanye back. I think there was a traumatic, weird-ass relationship towards the end. Remember Kanye they were on opposite pages. She was like all for getting Black folks out of prison and he was all for Team Trump. They probably had so many political arguments. I think, when you have a bad relationship, you're like, I don't even want to date this kind of man anymore. I want the total opposite, just so I could kind of cleanse my palate. And she tried something else. And I think it was a rebound and it served its purpose.
Did she try something else or did she go with the same insanity, really?
Right.
But she got a white man.
And you remember Claudia, she was down to that concert with that black outfit on. And that was after all of the little drama. So y'all say, the new Yeezy 2023 line coming out.
I'm just saying, Selena. I'm with you when you're right.
Oh, Kim.
This is the storyline.
I don't want to see it. This is the hot ass mess. All right, y'all. Well, listen, on to something else that really brings me joy. Our next guest coming up, we are catching up the star of E's new show, Mathis Family Matters. Judge Greg Mathis is with us. Stick around. We'll be right back with Judge Mathis after this quick commercial break. Grab a cocktail and join us right back here in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cocktails with the Queens. Now we're going to talk to Judge Greg Mathis about his new show on E, Mathis Family Matters, and the importance of changing how the Black family is seen in the media. But first, Let's take a look at a clip from his show.
When the robe comes off, I'm just another sucker. All right.
Looking like a star. For the first time in 15 years, the kids are all back in the same city.
Hey, look at all
that. It's great to have everyone home.
Let's bring my coffee, please.
There we go.
I didn't invite you here. They hit on my friends.
Makeup sex is the best sex.
I'm the prettiest.
Please welcome Emmy Award winner Judge Greg Mathis. Hey!
Ladies,
welcome.
My favorite queens. It's so good to enjoy a friendship with all you ladies. That's what makes this interview special.
That's right. What's up, Midwester?
Yeah. That's right. Chicago, Detroit, and in Nap Town in the house.
Okay, Midwest does it best.
Claudia, where are you from originally?
Okay, I feel left out. I'm from Rhode Island, but I did go to college in Cleveland, Ohio, so I'm in the Midwest.
Let
her know.
All right, Judge, we're super excited to have you here. We all adore you and know you in some capacity. And the fans, when we posted that you're going to be on the show, it's like everyone was super excited. So you're just so unique. So let's just go ahead and get into it. First of all, congratulations on receiving your star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. What was that moment like for you?
Yeah, well, you know, it meant a lot for me as relates to my grandchildren and the future, great-grandchildren, et cetera. They'll be able to know and show their friends. So it wasn't a real big deal for me until I saw Charlie Chaplin's star a couple of stars down. And I said, how long has this been here? It said, since 1922. Wow. So I did the math. I said, that's 100 years. I'm going to be on 100 years. They say, yeah, that's when it hit me.
Right. Wow.
So, no, it's a great honor to have that type of legacy to leave for my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. They say I got 100 years at least, right?
Wow. That's right.
So, that now, that's crazy. The honor.
Judge Mathis, how has everything that you have gone through in your life and career prepared you for a moment like that, 100 years right next to you, like in the way that that hits you? Did you have like a flashback of all of the things and the moments in your life and career that have led you to that moment?
You know, it's interesting that you would ask that question. It's the first time I've been asked that. And I think you're hitting it on the head in the sense that it did feel like a culmination of all my career achievements and, quite frankly, all my life achievements, but certainly as a career. And so it came full circle, and I began to recall the day I left jail and went and got my GED and went and was admitted to undergrad under affirmative action program. That's why we need to keep supporting affirmative action. And then going to law school and getting my law license and working. But then I thought about how they withheld my law license for 3 years, even after I had my record expunged. And so then I started thinking about how I beat them. I didn't beat everybody. I didn't took it and took y'all license and took it to another level. So those are the things that began to dawn on me. And so, yes, it's very gratifying to know, one, that I was able to do it. And secondly, I did it in light of a lot of obstacles. And a lot of those obstacles were placed in front of me by folks who don't want us to get where we want to be.
Amen.
You know
Amen.
What I mean.
Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Judge, just congratulations on receiving all of your well-deserved trophies. I mean, it's been a long time coming. You've been in the business for such a long time. Your show, you know, has been cracking us up for, you know, decades. I've been there for a lot of your accolades, from you winning your Emmy to the star. But now let's talk about this show with your family, because I think that was the one thing that when I hung out with you that day for the star, that we went back over to your beautiful home in Bel Air, and to see you with the family, with the kids, with your beautiful wife, with the grandkids, and just to see, I never knew you were such a wonderful family man.
No.
What's the goal of the show? What do you want America to see with the show?
Well, first of all, you never knew I was such a chump. That's what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, Judge, I see how you talk tough and your kids and your family, they abuse you like you a chump. And you're right.
They all got you wrapped around their finger for sure.
Well, yeah. And yeah. So what we tried to do with the show, however, is show that all Black families in America aren't broken. And yeah. We want to make sure that most of America and all of America, quite frankly, understands that. Yes, our communities have more obstacles. Our families have more obstacles than most of the general population because we've had more oppression than most of the general population and trauma, hundreds of years worth. And the legacy continues and the vestiges of that continues. So yes, we might have a disproportionate amount of broken families. However, we want to make sure that they see that when you're given opportunity, when a Black man is able to overcome his obstacles, go to school, educate himself, choose a woman who is also preparing herself for success and to prepare a family. We want them to see that. We want them to see a Black family of professionals. But also we want to show our folks that even though you're professional and you may gain all this opportunity, what you must understand is that obstacles will always be there. Each and every one of my family members has life obstacles that we struggle with every day. I'm not telling y'all mine, but y'all see, y'all have seen this. My daughter suffers from depression, flunked the bar 5 times as a result of a learning disorder. However, she's a leading advocate in mental health. Went on to become a lawyer and a prosecutor where she set up a second chance program in Washington, D.C. or in nearby county. And as her dad went through a second chance program like her dad went through, which gave me a lot of confidence knowing that I did a good job and as an example. Then my other son, as we know, a member of the LGBTQ community who faces discrimination and injustice all the time. And so we all have obstacles, my other children. And the fact is we want Black America to know that we all have obstacles. I don't know how much money you have, how little money you have. We all have personal obstacles we have to work to overcome. And you do that by coming together and joining, putting that love together in the family and fighting back together.
Yes. Well, I want to tap into that because, first of all, I did not even know that you had a reality show. I had to look up and say, hey, wait a minute, is this something? Oh, and I clicked on there. But what a wonderful surprise, because one thing about you, I know you are real and real recognized real. And when someone has been through as much as you've been through, I'm apt to listen more to someone that has had some challenges and has been there, done that, that can school me on something. You can't really school me on some things that you've been the top of your class all your life and you come from this kind of family and this kind of lineage. And it's almost like I ain't got that kind of chance, you know. But for you, thank you for being you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for wanting to show the Black family in a light that is not always just 100% positive, that we got some challenges too. So I'm saying all of that to say, my question is this. I know one of your episodes, your son, Greg Mathis Jr. Mm-hmm. had talked about the challenges of coming out and being gay. We have a clip. I want to look at that real quick.
Mm-hmm. If somebody at work say, and you gay? Yeah. What would you say?
I said no. As accepting as you all have been, the reality is that there's people who would hate us for that. Hate me, hate you. These Black men can't run their households and raising weak sons, and it's that connotation of how it impacts you.
Wow.
Beautiful clip.
Yep, absolutely. I wanted our audience to see that, because my question is, how do you feel that that conversation affected you as a father?
Yeah, it angered me, and I get angry every time I see it, because what it says to me is that the discrimination and injustice put upon the LGBTQ communities, and in this instance, my son, personalizing it, says to me that my son denied who he was for many years to protect my career. I didn't know that. you know, he came out to us when he was a teenager. We've known he was gay since he was a teenager. And now he's in his 30s. He went to college, then went to Washington, D.C. and worked for 11 years, Washington, D.C., being a gay-friendly town. And so I thought, whoa, my son is finally living his life. He worked for the U.S. Senate, a senior advisor to United States Senator John Warner. So I'm so proud and happy and thinking that he's happy and loving his life. And then he tells me that his colleagues at work and many of his friends did not know he was gay. And it was because he didn't know how my fans would react. And you know, I'm ready to get with somebody. I'm listening as close as I can to every radio show.
You better not try with Judge. You better not.
I ain't playing no games.
Judge, speaking of not playing games, I saw this clip of you the other day, and it was really powerful, like everything you do. You said that Black men during the Black Lives Matter protest, women in the LGBTQ community was at the front lines of the protest, which I've been at a lot of myself. I've seen a lot of us there. And you called it out. You said, brothers, at that time, Black men were busy killing each other at alarming rates. Can you talk a little bit about that real quick? Because
yes, I'm glad someone said it. You know, and let me start by saying I'm not afraid to say those type of things because, okay. I mean, what are you going to do? If thugs want to get at me for saying it, all right, I'm all right with that. I know how to handle that. And so I'm not really bothered by things that others would be scared to say. So I'm saying I think what a lot of sisters feel and a lot of brothers feel, and that is we are not protecting our community as we should. And the backbone of our community has always been Black women throughout our sojourn in America. And that is the case now. You raise our children. You have to serve your husband or your man at the same time. Many of our sisters are working two jobs, going to school at the same time, raising the children by themselves. And fighting back against injustice. And here we are, many of our brothers, we out here playing tough, killing each other, fratricide within our own community, fighting against the wrong enemy. Okay. And so the real enemy is injustice. The real enemy is those who are trying to hold you back and those who are stepping on your foot and shooting you in the back, stepping on your neck and shooting you in the back. That's Black men. And it disappointed me so much during the election. That's what disappointed me is when Stacey Abrams and many of the sisters who led the charge to elect the Democratic administration that we have now, who hasn't done totally right by us, by the way, but doing the best, doing something. Yes. And so brothers were missing, though. You had Stacey Abrams registering voters. Then came the voting rights bill. We saw mobilization of sisters pressuring Congress in the U.S. Senate. Then even the George Floyd Policing Act, which was up at the U.S. Senate, and we needed help, and we needed someone to fight for. It was all sisters. They're not stepping on the sisters' necks. They're stepping on our necks, brothers. They're not shooting the sisters as much. They're shooting us. And you all have them fighting our battles. We have y'all fighting our battles. That's cowardice, and it's unfair to you all. And so I'm not a coward, and I'm calling all these brothers who are not standing next to their sister, fighting for their sister and their family and the woman, then you are a coward, period. You can get mad. You can do whatever you want to do. My address, 1962 Stradella, Bel Air. I'll be there. Come right by.
That's
the real address. So we got a problem. We can talk about it right there. We can reason together. We can do whatever you want. You can come there and talk about my gay son, or you can come there and talk about what I said about Black punks who won't stand up with their women. We can talk about all of that. I'm sorry, y'all got me on a whole different mindset.
You know what, Judge? People think when they see you on TV and when you be checking people in the courtroom, they think, oh, that must be an act. No, y'all, what y'all see is what you get. This
man is a Black man.
He is
male and sir.
You know what? I would never go on your show if I didn't have my case Trump tight, because if you have even sniffed crack or been around someone that did crack, 10 years ago, he gonna smell the crack residue on you.
No in question
the corn. You a crackhead. Mama crackhead. I smell crack. And you are always right. Before we let you go, I always wondered about this, Judge Mathis. I don't want to ask you when we interviewed you before. How do you have such a good crack radar?
Now, this I'm gonna tell you all, this is the first ever in 25 years, exclusive, because of my girls, because of you ladies. I love y'all so much. Exclusive. I lived in a crack house for about 2 years. How about that?
Was it with your parents taking you?
Exclusive. Let him tell us.
No, but honestly, the first 2 years of undergrad, I didn't have a place to stay. My mom died when I was a kid or a teenager, never had a father. So when I got in college, I didn't have places to stay. I couldn't afford on-campus monies. I couldn't afford the on-campus dorm money that it cost. So I stayed with some family members, and yes, they were selling crack, and the crack addicts were coming in doing their thing. I was used to that type of life. It wasn't nothing new. So it wasn't nothing strange to me. It was nothing that was shocking. So in that vein, I've seen about 500 crackheads directly doing their thing and probably met another 1,000. So no, I know it because it's been, unfortunately, my reality growing up in the conditions that I did. And I have not left my folks behind. They come with me. I come to the, and those that don't come with me, I go to them. We have a 10,000 square foot community center in Detroit, the Mathis Community Center. We serve ex-offenders, many of which are my friends who've done 20 and 30 years and now coming home. We help with NA, Narcotic Anonymous meetings twice a day. Many of them are my friends from the past. And so I'm still in the trenches with the folks who are suffering under poverty and discrimination and racism. And so I still see it because I'm still there.
Well, Judge Mathis, we could talk to you all day. Before we let you go, I just want to say congratulations. You are also in production on the 24th season of your court show, Judge Mathis. You are the
longest. Hey, man, put the fight down. Put that fight down.
Oh, my goodness.
So I want to give you everywhere we go. I'm sorry.
What is going on?
You got a new show, too, don't you? You have a new show?
Well, the reality
show. A&E, that's why I'm here now. Live. Court Night Live comes on Wednesday at 9 p.m. live every Wednesday. A&E Network, Judge Mathis.
Judge
Court
Mathis,
Night Live.
In 24 years, the longest running African-American male host on television. We want to give you your appropriate flowers. You are taking over. And I love that a strong Black man like yourself is showing a Black family, because they seem to not let us have that anymore. And you are strongly and loudly and proudly representing for us. We need your show. Thank you so much, Judge Mathis. We appreciate you, Kay.
Love
y'all. Hope to see y'all soon.
No doubt.
We're going to have you come back, and I'm going to send anybody I'm dating through you so you can sniff them out and see if there's any crack residue on them.
I know.
Thank
y'all
you,
keep that exclusive. I gave y'all an exclusive now.
Producers only.
Oh, that's going to be clipped right now. We love you, Judge.
Family, our love.
All right.
The family, our love.
I will. Love y'all.
Make sure you check out all Judge Mathis' shows. He's basically on every channel right now, and support this brother who's doing positive things. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Cocktails with the Queens. We are still on a high because we just had the amazing Judge Greg Mathis on the show. Please support all of his shows. He was awesome. And if you just got in here just now, rewind, watch it tomorrow, or watch the exclusive that he gave us about his time in the trap house. Okay. He kept it a buck. We've never had a guest tell us anything like that. Okay. So we've reached a part of the show where we talk about our relationships and the challenges we face in our lives and how we personally overcame them. Welcome to our queendom. Vivica, you always do the head tilt every time.
I do.
I always wait for it. I always like, here it comes.
Here it comes.
So tonight's topic will focus on how mental, physical, and emotional trauma can lead to toxic relationships. Mm. Now, it seems like we're seeing more and more women in emotionally distressed relationships for the sake of, you know, wanting to feel loved, be financially supported, and in most cases, be viewed as a ride or die chick. That is not me. Okay, how can women stay away from toxic relationships and instead focus on their own internal healing. Selena, you know, I'm coming to you first. What you think about this topic?
You know, this is a very, very important topic. First of all, it's a topic that we need to discuss more in terms of women and how we are behaving in relationships. Case in point, and I know we're probably going to touch on this later, but the car accident that just happened in LA, the people said that the woman who was a nurse, that she was arguing or had some type of altercation with her boyfriend, was at a tavern, got drunk, and then that's how the whole car accident happened. The thing that hit me more than anything is, what is it? What could make you that angry? What could be that powerful emotionally, which emotions come and go, but what could be that detrimental emotionally to put you now in a predicament where you could be in jail forever? And so I think that women need to look at situations, not like that one, but there are other situations where women are being killed. Women are, you know, things are happening that are very, very serious due to toxicity in relationships. The question you asked for me, Claudia, was, what do you think women could do? Well, I think that women need to first address the toxicity and the traumas that are happening within themselves. Because when you're dealing with trauma and toxicity within yourself, you're not always on point with recognizing it in other people, because you're also dealing with it. As a matter of fact, you become attracted to it. So when you heal from it, you can identify it and know, this is not what I want, because it's going to make you feel the way you used to feel. And I think what we're not doing as women is dealing with our traumas, especially Black women. We're sweeping things under the rugs just to keep moving, just to keep making money, just to keep it going. And we're not healing properly. And it's attracting trauma. Trauma attracts trauma. Because I lived it. You know, I've been fighting out in the street with men and throwing rocks and all that. I've done that. And it doesn't add up, and it actually ends in tragedy.
Great points. And like, as always, Vivica, what do you think about this?
Whew. Well, I think the main thing is that we're afraid to talk about when we're in bad relationships. We always like to think everything is okay, or that we can fix, you know, there's a old saying that, you know, women are attracted to bad boys. Well, baby, when you grow up, bad boys get real boring, as far as I'm concerned. I have no time at all for a bad relationship, for someone not to treat me well. But that comes with maturity and having good girlfriends around me that I can communicate with. This show for me every Monday is therapy, that, you know, I learned what to accept and what not to accept. So I just feel for women, it's communicating with your family members or girlfriends to let them know that a relationship has went left.
Okay. Thank you for those points. Lisa Ray, what do you think?
I just like to see love take over.
Yeah.
Love in the relationship. See, when you care about somebody and you are in a union, whatever kind of relationship it is, as girlfriends, as fiancés, as husbands, mother and daughter, sisters, whatever it is, have an accountability for that person. Because you may not be able to see it, but if I see it and I say it, then just take a minute to notice that why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because it doesn't have to be all bad, and you don't have to go through it by yourself. But when you can't identify with it, you're going to go out there and lose it and blank out. And then you're going to crash through something that you're not supposed to be crashing through. And now your life is just turned upside down because somebody else didn't care for you the same way that you felt like they should have. If you care about yourself that much, then you're not going to need that love. You would want it and you would honor it, but you're not going to need it to validate you or to balance you. Love needs to take over.
Agreed.
Okay. I'm going to go to the root of a lot of this. I think there's an unrealistic pressure on women that men don't have, that places value on a woman if she has a husband, a man, or a child, that men don't have that same kind of pressure. And when you have this pressure, since you are 5 years old and watching fairy tales that tell us we got to find Prince Charming, or you're going to be like the three ugly stepsisters in Cinderella, single women with the big feet. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at all the cartoons that we grew up on, Sleeping Beauty. She got poisoned and only a man could save her and validate her life. Mm. Right? I know that sounds surface, but it's actually programmed
real talk
at an early age to start thinking, I'm not complete, or I'm not a queen, or I'm not perfect, or I'm not valuable until I'm somebody's wife or somebody's mother. So yeah. When you have this unrealistic pressure on you since you're five, right? Since you're five, of course you're going to stick in a jacked up relationship because you don't want to be alone. Because I remember when I was on Housewives and I didn't show a relationship. Well, where's your man? He's supposed to be so pretty. Why ain't you got a man? Well, wow. Maybe I don't have one right now. Or I don't want to show him on television. Or maybe I'm just taking my time. But the fact that I was so beat down, and it happens, it's happened to all of us. Selena, you've been married for a long time, but Vivica, Lisa, I know we've all gotten it from people. And it's like, you can have an amazing career. You can be an actress, an A-list actress. You can be a politician. You can have foundations and you're still not worth that. Like, you're not the prize. You're not there yet until you have a man validate. So no wonder why women stay in toxic relationships. No wonder why women put up with all kinds of abuse just to have that and say, well, I got a man, so I'm doing better than her. We got to get rid of that nonsense and stop shaming women that are single and choose to put themselves first and say, I love me until he's as good and a good fit for me. I'm going to stay single until I get what I deserve. I know that was long, but it's something I really feel strongly about. And I think it's jacked up that men don't have that pressure. A 60-year-old salt and pepper man that's single that ran through women his whole life. We like, oh, he's an eligible bachelor. We don't call him a spinster.
We call him a zaddy.
We don't do that to men, and they don't have that pressure. And then they have choices. We don't. We get dragged if we're single at a certain age.
Yeah. And our mothers need to do better. Our mothers need to validate our daughters. Mothers need to validate their daughters, and that will help a lot as well.
Well, I'm going to validate this commercial break because that was a fantastic segment. Great thoughts from all of you ladies. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be back with more cocktails with the beautiful queens who don't matter if we got a man or don't got a man because we still that chick. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cocktails with the Queens. Hey, one day, ladies, we need them to get all the footage of our conversations that we have during the commercial. But we cussing and we just really keeping it really, really, really.
It would be hurt feelings, girlfriend.
Oh, right. Yes, it wouldn't it be?
You think they talking about us now? She said, what?
We got to do one day Cocktails with Queens after dark and just like let everybody have, let the kids have it.
Yeah, okay. We'll do it. Anyway.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Listen, I saw this story on social media. I was so like, oh, I hate this guy. Let's talk about the expectations that some men have when it comes to spending money on women after a date or after taking a woman on a trip. Now, a video is making its rounds on social media of a man going the F off on a woman after he claimed, the math ain't math and I done did the calculations. He claimed he spent $5,000 on their trip. Apparently, the two have been, you know, talking on social media for a couple of months. And when they finally met, the woman decided not to have sex with him, which led to an argument. Lisa Ray, let's start with you. What are your thoughts on this argument? I already know you about to just let us have it. So come on.
Started with the wrong one, honey.
The punani is the treat. And I understand that you may want to have your treat before you have your entree and appetizer, but sometimes it don't go like that. Sometimes it gets sweeter later. You know what I mean? And if you are really wanting to go after this, the dating process of getting to that is going to be sweeter. It's like, you don't want me to be like, okay, just because you did that, then now I owe you.
Here you go.
I owe you what? And then why you didn't establish that in the beginning? Why you didn't say that? Because maybe it would have been a different outcome. Maybe I could have got my head right and said, oh, well, you know what? You may give me one or two more drinks and I may go for it. Or maybe she got there and looked at your ass and felt like, you ain't what I thought you were. And you talking to me crazy, or you talking Ebonics or talking whatever. And it's not turning me on. So she changed her mind. You saying that she don't have a right to change her mind, that she can't keep her stuff between her legs and say, I think that maybe I could really like him. And I just need one more day just to see if I want to really give it up, you know, because I could really have my nose open. Let me pace myself. It could have been a various of things, but now you want to go all off and make her act like the angry black woman and make her look like she crazy. And it's because of you being cheap. If you can't afford it, then don't do it. That's what I'm saying. You got to date. Don't date down. Like my girl Braylee Evans said, don't date down. Date up. Date on your own level, because being evenly yoked ain't no joke. I'm telling you. Hustle got to match. Beyonce said that.
I want to get the rest of the opinions of everybody else, but we have to go to commercial. You know what? Let's take a quick break and come back with this. And then one last story, because I definitely want to hear the rest of y'all's thoughts on this. And I have a theory about why she didn't give it up too. We'll be right back with more after the break.
Yes.
Welcome back to Cocktails with the Queens. Now, before we went to break, we were talking about that brother that flew that young lady out after months of talking to her. And when she decided not to have sex with him, he went the F off and said he spent $5,000 on her. Vivica or Selena, who want to go next?
I just got to go real quick, and my answer going to be, first of all, when he said the comment about, okay, you didn't want to fly Spirit, girlfriend, you should have known that that was just a red flag right there, and I'm done with it. Selena, real quick.
Facts. Spirit is the spirit of Satan. However, real quick for me, what if she was actually thinking, I'm trying to save myself? Do you really want a woman that you've been dating on the internet to come right in and give you some tail? Is that
monkeypox?
Yeah, like it's giving COVID, it's giving monkeypox, it's giving promiscuity, it's giving like a lot of stuff. What if she was actually saving herself? Now you messed it all up.
It's a lot of things out in these streets, bro. Don't be jumping in all quick.
So the people that want to come for her and say she knew what it was and she should just like had sex with him. First of all, I pay attention. Okay. Number one, you said you spent $700 on her flight. Then you said with bags and everything, it was $2,000. You lied. Bags are $30. Stop capping. Second of all, you said you guys were talking for 2 months before she came out there. Obviously she liked you. If she was just a bird trying to take advantage of you, she probably would have came out sooner. She's probably, that tells me a 2 months. That she was taking her time to get to know you because maybe she saw some potential in you. So the fact that once she got there, she didn't give it up to you, you probably messed that up. She probably was feeling you. That's why she came out there. I ain't talking to nobody for 2 months and then coming to visit you without thinking we going there. I'm grown. So maybe the breath was banging. Maybe he had dirt up under his fingernails and she didn't want to get a bacterial infection. Maybe he had sleep in his eyes. Maybe he had a cold sore. Why are we not talking about maybe something's wrong with him?
Oh,
that part. And the fact that by his reaction, him yelling like that, he's definitely the kind of guy that would say, that's why I smashed on the first night. He's that guy. And you didn't spend $5,000.
So she dodged a bullet.
Third thing I noticed before we go to this next story, the room had two beds. So you knew what it was before you got out there. Okay.
Exactly. He was too cheap to do a king size.
Ooh, or a suite.
That part.
And if you really want to just get sex like that real quick, you could have just paid a sex worker and then nobody would have been mad. Okay, speaking of being mad, I'm mad about this story. During an episode of Drink Champs, Irv Gotti said his secret romance is not secret anymore, with Ashanti helped her career and claims he came up with her hit song Happy right after they had sex. Irv said, we just finished sleeping together or whatever. I'm taking a shower, and we're being creative after sex. And I think I thought of the whole track in the shower. What are your thoughts about Irv Gotti dishing secrets about his relationship with Ashanti? Lisa, I know you, we all know him, but I know you're friends with him. Real quick, what you think?
Friends with him and Irv. I want you to hear this. Why? Like for real, come on. You kissing and telling 20 years later, you could have kept that. That was nobody's business. And wasn't he married then too?
Yes.
And that's messy. That's foul.
And why now?
Lisa Ray, Vivica, what do you think?
I concur with Lisa Ray. Why now? It was 20 years ago and you were married at the time. So it's like, homie, you kind of playing yourself, and Ashanti must have that whip a bill.
These niggas killing me doing the, kissing and telling. Who does that?
Someone that sprung, that missed that thing, because I don't have it a couple times. You know what I'm saying? Ladies, they don't talk about it.
Down memory lane. When she, it was after the shower, and I thought of the whole track.
Listen, ladies, that's why you can't reverse cowgirl everybody, because they just believe they're going to be in mine. Okay, I fucked the 10-year. I had sex with her 97. I did that.
Still with me.
Selena, what you think?
It's It's giving promotion for the new show that's coming out.
Oh, you guys. Okay, well,
these people are nuts.
Damn,
it has no other value other than that. You're on the Drink Tramps, you're drunk, and then you tell some stuff to make your show. They want to watch the show because in the interview, he said, I think he said something about it telling the story the story comes to life inside of his series.
Oh, okay.
It's, I don't even know.
Shameless plug.
Giving promotion at the expense of bitchism. It's weird.
I like Ashanti, and let me tell you, Ashanti don't bother nobody
at all. She doesn't.
And that's why
it's a class act.
It ain't like she's out there running her mouth about nobody else. And I like her. No. We like you, or we cool, you know what I'm saying? But like, leave her alone. Like, I would hate for a man to be in an interview and just sit there. Cause when we do it, we get called messy bitches.
Oh my God.
So when men do it, it's
the same. She ain't over him yet. Oh, she got to bring up his name for attention. Like, but look at y'all. Okay.
And look at Ashanti.
Vivica can't even get 50 Cent back in change before somebody say something about her trying to say something about the damn 50 Cent.
You know, I
sat down, everybody.
On that note, I would like to thank Judge Greg Mathis for joining us tonight. Thank you for watching. Stay tuned for the Pulse up next. Ladies, I love y'all. That was fun.
Peace out, y'all.